Today on Locked On Red Wings, Simon Edvinson scores his first career goal in Detroit's 4-3 loss to the St. Louis Blues.
Your Locked On Red Wings, your daily podcast on the Detroit Red Wings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to the Locked On Red Wings podcast. We are your hosts, Brian Fisher and Scotty Bentley. I am a podcast producer for the Daily J, a WWJ news radio podcast. Well, Scotty's a host over at Locked On Tigers, as well as a freelance journalist for the Detroit News. And on today's episode, guys, we're going to recap the Red Wings loss to the St. Louis Blues, go over some news and notes, one of which applied directly to how this game played out in regards to an emergency call-up. Denver lost in the NCAA tournament immediately, which caught me off guard, but that opens the door to maybe getting a little bit of help in this organization, depending on what decision Carter Mazur makes. And then we'll finish it off with a game preview of the Flyers game that takes place on Saturday. But first, Scotty, happy Friday.
Happy Friday, bud.
Happy Friday.
You watch that, you keep an eye on that Michigan State game?
I had Twitter open. I saw it go to overtime, and that was just crazy.
One of the most insane college basketball games I have ever watched. I was two screening it with the Wings, and golly, man, what a basketball game! I'm not a Sparty fan, but I mean, got a tip of the cap on that one. That's absolute insanity. So this is March for sure.
Absolutely. Anyway, Scotty, in regards to the Red Wings' unfortunate 4-3 loss, where do you want to begin with that? Should we just begin with the biggest news of it all? Or
yeah, I think we just start with Edvinson. We see where it takes us from there. First career goal. That was fun, man. That's obviously a fun thing. And we've talked a lot about the things to watch for throughout the remainder of the season, and Edvinson, since getting called up, is arguably at the top of that list, and seeing him get his first career goal is really cool. And especially when you look at the games that he has played in his performance in said games, like, not that today was a masterclass performance by him by any stretch, but we have the first game that was pretty solid. The second game was really, really good. And now this one, we have a goal. Like, I don't know. It just kind of it's fun to hop around from performance to performance. Be like, oh, there's something to take from pretty much all of these so far.
I don't think it's a stretch to say that he was the best player on the ice again in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that.
Every play he made was a huge, impactful play, it seemed. You know, even when he made a mistake, he made up for it with like this fun theatrics. For instance, when he hobbled the puck on the blue line, and it almost resulted in a breakaway the other way. He had a 78-inch stick or something like that, and he's 6'6", and he dove behind him as the player was breaking away and swatted it away with one hand. I mean, defensively, he was fantastic. Offensively, he was great as well, like excluding the goal, which took until the second period for them to give him credit for, which is crazy because to everyone who was watching, we immediately were like, that didn't go off luff. That's a Simon Edvinson goal.
Yeah.
So I don't know why it took until the beginning of the second for the NHL to figure it out, but regardless, you know, he got his first NHL goal, but outside of that, he jumped up into the play in the offensive zone several times, had several big opportunities. He pinched in and picked the puck off of players who were trying to break the puck out and set up Joe Valeno. And we'll talk about Joe Valeno a little bit later, but he set up Joe Valeno for a beautiful opportunity. He was doing everything out there on the ice, and it's the type, and he wasn't backing down from players trying to pick on him as a rookie.
That was the fun part to me, man. Yeah. At the end of the game there, getting in somebody's grill and Jordan Osterley, poor Jordan Osterley had to come in at the end there. And he was the one that had to drop the gloves, but yeah, that was super cool. No. Yeah. I definitely don't disagree that this is another super impactful performance, and the goal is obviously a great way to highlight that.
Yeah, he was, again, like I said, he is without a doubt the best player on the ice for the Detroit Red Wings. He led the team in Corsi 4 percentage, 21 shot attempts for and 11 shot attempts against when he was on the ice in this hockey game, for a percentage of, like I said, 65, the best on the team. He was third best in expected goals for. So when you weight that based on quality at 5-on-5, he was the third best player on this hockey team in tonight's game. He's a force, man. And I know some of it has just been like some swagger that he came up with coming out of the AHL, pumped to make your first NHL games. And it's a shame that we're really honestly going to see him for like 9 games max this season, because he's been so fun to watch. And I can't wait to actually watch his legitimate rookie season next year, because watching him, and there was even a shift where he and Sider on the ice together. I'm looking at the future. And I love Wallman and Sider together, but just viewing Sider and Edvinson on the ice, I'm like, that was the dream of Red Wings fans when they drafted Edvinson. Is now you have Sider and Edvinson, 6'4", 6'6", left hand, right hand. That's your top pair. And like for a minute there in the third period, they were out there together. Like the future was right before our eyes. And like, I can't lie, it got me kind of pumped.
Yeah, man. That was a really cool moment too, when after that shift had ended, they like panned over on the bench to both of them sitting next to each other on the bench, like talking to each other, whatever. And everybody's like, that's it. Like that's literally it. That's for the last, whatever, 2 years we've been waiting for like this exact moment. Yeah, no, it was very cool.
Now we just need 3 other defensemen to come and fill out the lineup.
Yeah, right.
And make it competitive.
Right. That's half a defense now, baby. Yeah, let's go.
We're almost there, baby. Let's go. But I mean, even outside of Edvinson, you know, in regards to the game as a whole, I felt it was kind of similar-ish to the game that they won in a shootout in St. Louis, where they came out really, really strong. They scored 2 goals in the first 90 seconds, which almost never happens. I think they said that was the fastest 2 goals to start the game for the Red Wings in like 46 years. And the first half of the first period, I thought they dominated. And then the second half of the first period, it started go back to St. Louis's side of things. They scored before the game. I think about halfway through the first, they scored a goal. But that Jake Wallman goal was sick. I love watching Jake Wallman step up into the play and release a shot.
Man, he's kind of he's that one. He didn't really do like the pump fake thing that he did the last couple of times, but he did try that move earlier and he went just wide. But yeah, no, he's kind of got a little area set up there, you know, right? It's a couple steps in from the blue line, kind of just like crashing toward the net, taking a rip. Yeah, he's looking pretty nice, man.
Yeah.
Obviously, one of the best stories of the entire season as far as like player development goes is Jake Wallman, and he continues to look great. Yeah.
You know what's really funny? As I was thinking about this today, I was like, the Blues literally traded away the player they thought they were getting in Nick Leddy.
Yeah.
Like, literally, Nick Leddy was supposed to be that offensive puck-moving defenseman who's going to score you some goals and play top 4 minutes. And that literally was Jake Wallman. He just never got an opportunity in their lineup. And I think that's crazy to me, because
it's crazy.
I mean, awesome. talent evaluation in any professional sport is so hard. And sometimes players don't mesh well with systems. But Jake Wallman has been such a revelation, man. And
especially in hockey.
Yeah.
You know, like system fit and like coaching and development is so important in hockey. There's some other sport. Like system is obviously important in every sport. I'm not trying to say that it like only matters in hockey, but it's definitely I don't know. I feel like it weighs a little bit more on, especially like certain positional groups and like specifically defensemen, like more so than maybe anybody else. Like defensemen can really take a hit or a spike in production based on a certain system, for sure.
It's also crazy to me anytime I think about how you can trace that trade tree all the way back to the 2013 entry level draft where we swapped picks with the San Jose Sharks to draft and ended up falling. I think we slid back to draft Anthony Mantha. We gave them a higher pick in return. Oh yeah, because the other draft pick was Tyler Bertuzzi that they got. Yeah. So they moved back, got a first and a second, and the second round pick was Tyler Bertuzzi. So it's crazy how that trade has branched off into literally Jake Wallman and like a handful of first round picks.
Right.
That's pretty incredible. But yeah, Scotty, overall, I don't have the second period was pretty abysmal. In my opinion, abysmal is a strong word. Offensively, both teams were there, but defensively and goaltending wise, it was pretty putrid.
I thought it was bad. Like there was just nothing. There was just nothing. Like I really don't enjoy using the words like boring or like nothing happened in a sporting event. Like that's like sacrilegious to me.
When you're watching the Islanders.
Yeah, but even then, like, it's like, okay, like, they play really good defense, and that's why, like, I really hate using that terminology because I never find sports boring. But the second period in this game was like, again, not boring, but like nothing happened. Like it was just failed zone entry, back and forth. Like very few shots on net in the second specifically. And it was just a really weird, like middle of this hockey game. Like it was just like nothing really happened. And to your point, poor goaltending was pretty much the only thing that saved it from literally nothing happening.
Yeah, unfortunately, the poor goaltending was on our end in this game. And we'll talk about that when we come back. But first, I got to talk to you guys today about Indeed. No matter how great the last game went or poor, anytime you take the field, you've got a shot at greatness. Give your team the best shot at winning by recruiting more MVPs with Indeed. If you're hiring, you need Indeed because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed is the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applications that meet your must-have requirements or else you don't pay. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites hoping to find candidates with the right skills, you need to find one powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all, and that's Indeed. They partner with you on every step of the hiring process, find great talent through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match assessments and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, as soon as you sponsor a post, you got a short list of quality candidates with resumes on Indeed that match your job description, and you can invite them to apply right away. Plus, you only pay for quality applications that meet your must-have requirements. Start right now with a $75 sponsored job. I got lost. Sponsored job credit to upgrade your first job post at Indeed.com/lockedon. That offer is valid through March 31st.
What just happened?
I got lost in the verbiage, man. There's sometimes, so what I read isn't all that's what there, right? You know this, but the listeners don't. Little peek behind the curtain. When you do a read, you got a bunch of bullet points you can kind of hop between, and some are for 60 seconds, some are for 30 seconds. And I scrolled past where I was supposed to go, and I got lost in the verbiage. And I was like, where am I supposed to, where's it at?
This is a tough sell, man. He's really 30 seconds of nothing was written, actually.
Pause for effect. That's what that was, Scotty. Segment two, Locked On Red Wings podcast. We're talking about the 4-3 loss to the St. Louis Blues. And to your credit, Scotty, before we went to break, you mentioned how the second period felt like a lot of nothing, which is crazy because there were three goals the St. Louis Blues scored.
Yeah.
And the offense was even. And by even, I felt as if nothing happened. I agree with you on that regard. It's just that our defense and the Red Wings defense and the Red Wings goaltending let down very heavily the fans at the arena tonight, because three, and I'll throw the heat map up here, buddy, because it's I haven't done the heat map in a few games, it feels like. But
it's been a while since we've done a heat map, yeah.
A shot from the point in the first period is what it is. Whatever. It was a good shot. It went top shelf. That's fine.
Nice. Nice,
but
dude.
In
nice.
What universe is three goals from right out in front of your own goaltender at 5-on-5 acceptable? And that's why, like, Hellberg had a bad game and he deserved to get pulled. He allowed three goals on 12 shots. But shots shouldn't be coming from right there anyways, right? We're in agreement on that. The defense didn't do a good job. Granted, only two of those were on Hellberg. The third one was on Nedeljkovic, but that's not great.
Well, I mean, like, one of the goals was just like a bouncy puck that then got redirected and was just bouncing all over the place. But like pretty much every other goal I felt like was just like obviously a good opportunity and then like relatively poor goaltending. I don't know. Like like you said, he definitely deserved to get pulled. It's just like it's so wild that in a period in which like very few opportunities were like executed on either side, it was a three-goal period because just like get a puck on net, just get a puck deep, just like try to like just throw it up there and it's going to get through. Like I don't know. It was a frustrating period and a very winnable game that kind of slipped through.
Yeah. And they pull Hellberg, right? Because he's not getting it done and the defense in front of him is just playing like crap. So they put Nedeljkovic in, who was an emergency call up before today's game, or yesterday's game by the time you guys are listening to this, because Huso's been dealing with a nagging injury. And I do have a thought in the back of my head that maybe that has to do with his poor performances recently, but I'm not completely, we don't know the timeline of this, but it's not the first time Nedeljkovic has been called up for an emergency backup role.
Yeah.
Nedeljkovic gets into the game and the Red Wings immediately give up a breakaway in which they score on. I think it was Neighbors scored that goal. Yeah. Jake Neighbors scored that goal.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there like, give this man a break. Like, that's tough. His first game since December 8th and the Red Wings immediately give up a breakaway, and it wasn't a great goal. And I like, it made me a little nervous because that shot was a really weak shot that snuck under Nedeljkovic's pad. So I was like, oh, that's not a great look. It wasn't his fault 100% because it should have been a breakaway, but that was a savable puck. And so I was really afraid it was going to fall apart from there, but thankfully he made saves on the other 8 shots he faced through the rest of the game. Because in the third period, the Red Wings picked it back up again, but that it was just a brutal second. Boring and poor goaltending and defense. Just it killed the Red Wings in this game. They went from a 2-0 lead to a 4-2 deficit, you know, in as quick of a time as they got ahead.
And that's the thing, is like they blew a lead and they didn't get like substantially outplayed. Like, no. It was literally just like soft nothingness. Just like
soft,
led,
good way of putting it.
Led to, you know what I mean? Just like led to goals. Like that's the kind of stuff where if this was a game that happened a month ago, we'd be very upset right now. Like, we'd be very, very upset. You know what I mean? Like, if this game happened coming off of the West Coast road trip where we won a bunch, you'd be like, this is like this. We'd be so upset and be like, this is going to, you know, change the trajectory, whatever. But because it's March 24th and we're out of it, it's like, all right, like, this is dumb. Like, that was dumb. That just sucked. Like, I don't know. Weird period and a weird game.
Soft. I think you said it best when you called it soft, because the Red Wings were only outshot
soft nothingness.
Yeah, the Red Wings were only outshot 9-7 in the second period, in which they gave up 3 goals. That's ridiculous. They outshot the Blues by a total of 30-22, and 16 of their shots came in the third period. Because in the third period, again, they came alive. I mean, they were really active in the third period the other night, and they, again, with about 10 minutes left, they really turned on the Jets. And, you know,
last
Chase
five especially, they were buzzing with like 5 minutes left. Got a goal, brought it back within one. You were like, oh,
it's too steep of a deficit at that point, though, unfortunately. But Chase on, hey, the man hates 5-on-5 hockey. I don't know what it is, but the man hates 5-on-5 hockey.
Hey, you know, we like what we're good at.
He loves scoring up a man. That's all I know.
He's a dog, A. B, he's great on special teams. He's an absolute menace in the power play in front of the net. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, baby.
He actually just barely missed on an opportunity earlier in the third period.
Yeah, is that the one
from
that
like,
literally slid
right through
across
the, slot.
The line?
Yeah, right through the slot. And it was from his backdoor spot, like the spot he loves to sit. So his goal in this game was actually like a scrum ensued in front. He knocked it in. It was an actual shot, backhand shot. So it wasn't his favorite backdoor goal. But, the man hates 5-on-5 hockey. I'm loving me some Alex Chase on. He gets like 10 minutes of ice time a night, and he just seems to score a goal every night. I don't know how he's doing it.
I don't know if he got 10 in this one, man.
Ride the hot hand, baby. That's all I know.
He got 11 and a half, I guess. Okay. Respect. That's the dog. Respect.
Osterle, man. Big fight.
Dropping the gloves,
You know what's funny is I was like, Edvinson's going to fight this guy. And then like 5'11".
Out of
Jordan
nowhere.
Osterle.
Just like mugging him too. Like right up against the board. Just like a streak of lightning. Just bang, dude.
How
he's
tall
right
is Jordan
there.
Osterle? Because he's probably like 6'2", right? He's 6 foot tall. So you have 6'6" Simon Edvinson getting into a scrum with Nathan Walker. And Jordan Osterle comes out of nowhere. 6 foot Jordan
Literally
Osterle comes
like
out of nowhere.
Like a streak of lightning, dude. Just bam. There's Jordan Osterle. He's got the jersey in one hand. He's ready to rock with the other.
It was a pretty good tilt. He had the edge in the first half. You know, he was throwing a couple of haymakers.
It wasn't bad until the end. The end was – that then, was I don't know what was happening there at the end. He was like slowly just like kind of like hanging on and he's just kind of like slowly being lowered. I was like, what is this? But
I'll tell you what happened is Walker decided to give up on the jersey part and just started throwing both of his hands.
That
it was,
yeah,
it
that
was
did
wild.
Happen, yeah.
And it threw Osterley off because usually it's one hand on the jersey, one hand open. And Walker
he was
just
like,
said no.
He was like hanging from his jersey, like with his like grabbing his hands onto the jersey, just hanging from it. But he like wasn't on the ice yet. He was just kind of like chilling there and he's like slowly getting lower. I was like, this is a fight, baby.
I loved it though. I love
the great man. I love stepping up for the rookie there. That's obviously
despite the fact
sign,
that he's got
but,
a good half.
No, yeah, to your point, you know, it was a decent tilt though in the first half too. Australia got some shots off for sure. It got a few uppercuts in there, a few uppies. Yeah, he was not bad, man.
Some body shots. You don't see those a whole lot.
Yeah, you don't see those. You gotta change levels, you know. You gotta change levels, keep them on their toes, man. He was all about it. I love it.
Scrappiness. Scotty, we got to get to another quick break, but we should talk some Joe Valeno because I thought he had a very good game and just walked away unrewarded. But after that, we'll get into the game preview against the Philadelphia Flyers. But before any of that, got to talk to you guys today about FanDuel. The tournament is heating up, and there's no better place to get your action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockdown and sign up today to claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which teams will be cutting down the net. Scotty, did you bet on the Michigan State game like I told you to?
No. I don't take betting advice from you.
I didn't tell you what to bet. I just told you to bet on it. Is that paramount as to advice?
I don't take betting advice from you.
All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Segment 3, Locked On Red Wings podcast. I think my new favorite gag might be the just silence, go right back to the ad, no transition. That might be my new favorite bit. Just Scotty just roasting me and then
disbelief.
Just all right, well, get the app, guys. It's fun. No, sports betting is fun, and that's I've been enjoying it. I've been putting down a little bit of money. That's disgusting.
What?
There was gum on the bottom of my shaker bottle, and I don't know where it came from because it was not mine.
Oh.
So I probably picked it up in the cup holder or the stair stepper at the gym yesterday.
That's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
And I just put my hand on it because I was like, what is this? And I pulled it off and it's just chewed gum.
You speak. I'm not speaking. That's gross.
So you know who didn't look like chewed gum out there on the ice tonight? Wow. It was Joe Valeno.
That's a pros transition right there. Yeah, no, Valeno looked good, man. He had a couple of of opportunities too, just couldn't find the back of the net.
Well, he had that breakaway in the game against the Blues on Tuesday, and then on this game tonight, he had two golden opportunities and couldn't bury. One, of course, like we said earlier, was off that beautiful feed from Simon Edvinson. Joe Valeno's just—he is what Valeno is, man. He is a pretty dang good bottom six center. Pretty solid defensively, not going to score a ton of goals. He's just like, I feel like it's just, if he can, this offseason, if he can break through that, I don't know how to say it, but I feel like he's so close to just scoring more. He puts himself in the right position. It's kind of Zadina-esque is his problem, just without all the hype.
You better watch yourself. You're going to get a lot of people in the comments that are really not going to be happy with what you just said.
In terms of like how he plays, you know, it's a responsible game that's going to get bottom 6 minutes and he puts himself in position to succeed, but just can't bury the puck. The difference is there's not a ton of hype behind Joe Valeno as there was to a sixth overall pick. So watching him play, I'm like, he's just so close. If he can just figure out that one last thing, he might be able to score another 5 goals a year. I'm not saying like 30, but you know, find the net for like good 15 to maybe 15 to 18 goal ceiling for Joe Valeno, which is respectable in a bottom six role.
For sure. No, for sure. And I thought he looked pretty good. I thought I want to keep shouting out Andrew Kopp until I get yelled at. Cause like, I thought that he played a really solid game again. And It's unfortunate because when the team was rolling earlier in the season, he got off to a super slow start and everybody was ragging on him. And now that, like, no one really cares about the wins and losses because we're out of it and, you know, we're close to the end of the season here. Now he's playing really well. So I'm hoping that a healthy offseason, healthy start of the season next year, none of that injury to start off the year crap that he had to deal with this year, just kind of gives us a full season of what he's given us the last month or so, because he's looked, I mean, pretty consistently has been one of the better players on the team for the last month, I feel like.
I agree. Let's see. Anything else about this game that we should shout out? Are we forgetting anything?
So. We already talked about goaltending. It was ugly. No, I think that's pretty much it.
Awesome. Well, on Saturday, the Red Wings are playing the Philadelphia Flyers. This one is in Philly. And the Red Wings have lost the first two games against Philadelphia Flyers this season. This is the third game of their three-game season series. 3-1, 2-1 were the two losses, I believe. Or was it 3-2, 2-1? Either way, it was one goal, two goal loss, low scoring against the Philadelphia Flyers. Both games, I remember being very upset after the one game because the Red Wings, the Flyers are.
I've heard this before. The Red Wings can't beat the Flyers.
Well, not just that, but the Flyers stink this year too.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't matter. This is in Philly too. Great, man. That's awesome. We're definitely going to win. Like,
it is a bit of a revenge game though for James Van Riemsdyk against his former team, the Red Wings.
He's technically playing with a former team too, because not even this deadline, but when he was younger, you got to remember JVR was on those like cup contender Philly teams when he was like 20-21, and then they traded him away, and then now he's back kind of thing. So a lot of, you know, playing with a former team, technically playing against a former team, not technically. So it's a heck of a game for JVR.
Absolutely. So, I mean, when it comes to the Flyers, guys, I don't know what to tell you.
Thursday night, we're recording this. They just beat the Minnesota Wild in a shootout. It was the ESPN game. It was actually pretty good. JVR, speak of the devil, actually had a really nice shootout goal over Marc-Andre Fleury. But yeah, no, it was a I think 5-4 final. So 4-4 going into the shootout. It was a pretty high scoring, high intensity game. I mean, you're going to have opportunities. They have a pretty good young goaltender. I talk about how much I like Carter Hart all the time.
Carter Hart, who might be on the move in the offseason?
Yeah, well, they just have to determine. They have to pick a side. They can't keep doing this. We're going to be like the eighth worst team in hockey gig anymore. They gotta either fully embrace it or try and get better and make a run. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with him. That'll be an off-season discussion for sure. But, yeah, you know, good young goaltender. Pretty awful defense in front of him, though. So you're going to have your opportunities if you want them. And, yeah, like a surprisingly not terrible offense either. So, yeah.
Yeah, they are 25th in the league, of course, Corsi 4 percentage. Red Wings are 26th. So the two teams are kind of neck and neck in 5-on-5 play. But this is a really beatable team. They only have two players above 50 points. Their leading point scorer is Travis Konecki. Excuse me. And like you were saying, goaltending-wise, it's Carter Hart, and that's about it. He's got 908 save percentage, pretty good, especially for the season standard. Yeah. But their backup, I got the hiccups now. Their backup, Felix Sandstrom, 884 in 14 games played. I bet you probably are seeing Carter Hart.
Seeing Thursday night to Saturday, I'd imagine that's probably enough time. Yeah,
absolutely. So also, they almost forgot to mention it. University of Denver.
Oh, what a hockey
eliminated
game.
By Cornell.
Right before basketball started, man. That Cornell, what a hockey game, man. Yeah, Cornell got off to a early 2-0 lead, like within 9-ish minutes of the game, was up 2-0, and then just pedal to the metal, never let up. Crazy good, or not, well, I guess good, right? Look at the goals against. Pretty, not a bad game, but they were just super aggressive on the forecheck and the backcheck. They were just all over the place. The boys were flying. Heck of a hockey game. Super, super fun.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting part now comes what's going to happen to Shai Boom and Carter Mazur.
Yeah.
Particularly Carter Mazur.
For our interest, yeah.
Because, I mean, he could run it back again. He's only played 2 years there, but he already has a natty. So and with how good he is, he's one of the best players in college hockey. Just he could make the leap to pro. So I'd be this weekend, guys, I'd be really keeping an eye on.
Yeah, well, we talked about that. NCAA, right? We talked about that. Was that just yesterday where we were like, hey, like,
yeah, if we just, you know, we just didn't think.
Yeah, once Denver gets eliminated, keep an eye out for that ELC.
We just didn't think they'd get eliminated immediately.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's a huge upset, obviously. But, yeah, Frozen Four, the tournament's always fun, man.
Yeah, so if Mazur signs his ELC, I mean, this team's so banged up. Do you think we might even see him in the winged wheel before the season's up if he does go pro?
It's not the first time.
But see, it's not the first time in Red Wings history that players have made the jump immediately. No, I mean, Danny DeKeyser is the poster child of that. And I know his tenure ended, but Danny DeKeyser was a real good defender for several years before his back issues flared up. So I need something, man. And Simon Evans is one thing, but Carter Mazur would be just the cherry on top.
He certainly would.
Anyway, Scotty, you got any final thoughts, man?
We ball.
We do ball. We'll be back with a new episode on Monday to recap this one. So stay tuned for that. Same time, same place. See your team every day.